Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
It's time to look at the U.S. elections, and now we're going to be talking to Neil Wilson, who is the chief market analyst at Finalto. Neil, thank you so much for your time. I mean, when you look at the market reaction to the U.S. Elections, what's your take on it?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's been obviously the market was primed for a Trump victory, although the polls had been really tight and all the sort of media focus had been on how much it was a coin toss election and so on. The betting markets and the financial markets had been much more kind of inclined towards a Trump victory. So to an extent, it wasn't a surprise, but I think the market has been really pleasantly surprised, if that's the right word, in terms of risk, because we got a clear result. I think there was a big sort of fear that, you know, we end up with 2020 all over again, with legal cases and you know, disputed election results, and one side, you know, not being prepared to concede defeat. That was probably the biggest kind of risk for market sentiment. So that's been put aside. We know what the result is. We know it's a done deal. So the market likes that sort of certainty. The other thing is, I think, you know, if you're a U.S. investor or you're invested in the U.S., Donald Trump plus a Republican Senate and Republican House is going to be good for capital. It's going to be good for U.S. capital, primarily because, you know, he's going to, well, his stated agenda is to extend and make permanent the corporate tax cuts, to initiate a looser, more lax regulatory regime across a number of industries. And also he's going to be spending a lot. The fiscal kind of implications of Donald Trump are quite significant to the US budget deficit. And so that extra, you know, there's an extra few trillions of dollars in the economy is going to grow the economy. So there's a lot of positive feelings within the market about the result.
Given what you've just mentioned about the spending, is that giving you some kind of answer in terms of why we're seeing long rates going up?
Yeah, I mean, you know, they have seen quite a move in long rates sort of over the last sort of 6 weeks. Part of that is that Trump trade. And I think there is a bit of concern about, you know, what does all this extra spending mean sort of long term? And not that anyone's worried about the U.S. Ability to service its debt right now, but certainly suggestive of more inflation and inflation expectations maybe becoming a bit higher. Also, there's one side of it, which is this idea of the sort of deficit growing and sort of, you know, you're engendering inflation. You're kind of debasing your currency in some way by printing more money. And bond investors traditionally are going to have a reflex to that. But also there's a kind of premium on US growth, I think, at the moment. I think that, you know, you're seeing, investors really kind of showing that they think the US is going to grow. It's going to probably grow faster than peers. You know, there are maybe, headwinds to this belief. You know, we don't know what effect tariffs are going to have, for example, if tariffs do come down the line, what, you know, sort of retaliatory kind of mechanisms there are, what sort of second order effects that might have on the value of US debt or the dollar. But at the moment, certainly it's a kind of euphoric kind of mood in the market, but everyone's looking at those long rates and thinking, well, you know, what happens if they creep up and start moving up and you start to sort of look at what the Fed has to do then. So, yeah, there's definitely one eye. People got one eye on it. But I think at the moment it's still kind of risk on, if you like.
When you think back to 2016, are there any parallels between now and 2016? What do you remember when it comes to this market reaction?
Yeah, well, I think the market sort of failed to understand Donald Trump initially, because it sold off when Donald Trump, in 2016, the initial results came through and he was leading. So the market moved lower initially. This time around, before it then, you know, kicked on and you got that Trump rally in the sort of final couple of months of 2016. This time the market's much more apprised of what it means, what tax cuts really mean, what you know, looser regulation means. You know, it's the same trade, but it's just, it's kicking into gear a bit sooner. And actually, you know, we had seen the market sort of moving ahead of the result, as I said earlier.
When you think about the Trump trade, which is what we've been talking about probably for the past few months or so, were there any aspects of the Trump trade that didn't make any sense to you?
Well, I mean, I do question, well, I do have a question over the sort of stronger dollar narrative in a longer term look at this, because as you said, sort of higher deficits, what that means in terms of printing more dollars. But also, we know that Donald Trump has, we know that he would probably prefer a weaker dollar, you know, versus a stronger dollar, because, you know, that's just how he operates. That's what he said before. They flirted with that weaker dollar narrative. If you recall in the previous, the Trump government with Steve Mnuchin, they were sort of talking around the dollar a bit, and the dollar did move lower, and there was a bit of worry about that. So they had to kind of, relent on that weak dollar sort of jawboning. It's a question mark whether or not they go down that route again. There's a bit of chatter in the market. We've heard J.D. Vance, what his sort of politics are about, you know, repatriation of American jobs and so on. It's this America First agenda. And a weaker dollar is part of that story. It's very hard to achieve a weaker dollar when you're spending so much money, of course, and when you're imposing trade restrictions on the rest of the world. But, you know, is there some other mechanism by which the US government under Donald Trump tries to engineer a weaker dollar? That's maybe the question mark that I would have, say, over the medium term, longer term, rather than right now. I mean, stronger dollar made sense immediately with the yields moving up, but there is a question mark on a slightly longer term basis.
So now that we've gotten this outcome, has that changed anything for you and the rest of the team in terms of how you were analyzing things or what you're expecting in the next few months, or is everything roughly in line?
Yeah, I mean, I think we were expecting a Trump win. We're expecting yields to rise. I think there will be a question the unknown quantity right now and the uncertainty that we face would be to what extent yields move maybe too aggressively higher, to what extent there is a bit of punishment in the bond market for US debt. That's something that will be contingent upon what actually transpires. So we've got this sort of, we've had the election now, so there's a lot of sort of rumour and chatter and Trump trade chat. And pre-election, we've now got the sort of, we've got the result, but we don't really know policies yet. So what actually is going to transpire, mandate Trump has. Now, he's actually this time got quite a strong mandate. He's won the popular vote, which is key. He's won the Senate, the House, we think, as well. So there is a stronger mandate maybe for some more deeper changes. He's also a second-term president. So what sort of mood is he in to push maybe some more radical moves? You know, he's flirted with the idea of ending income tax altogether, replacing it just with tariffs, for example. I mean, that's been touted. I don't think it's a realistic prospect, but this is Donald Trump we're talking about, so you never quite know. So there's definitely an uncertainty about what actually transpires. The market seems to be saying right now, well, we know it's going to be deregulation. We know it's going to be lower taxation. We know it's probably tariffs, but we're not overly worried about them right now. The uncertainty is actually what actually unfolds over the next few months and after the inauguration. So that's where we're trying to sort of look and see what might transpire and what the sort of second order effects are of different policies.
Given that, what happens with the Fed? I mean, I can imagine tomorrow's job is going to be easy because we already know what to expect, but how difficult does December become?
Yeah, I mean, December's going to be tricky. It's between the election and inauguration. We'll probably know, I mean, Donald Trump will vocalize probably a lot of his agenda by then, but what happens in the bond market will be important there, because, you know, the Fed, you know, has said we're looking maybe 150 basis points more of cuts. It's now the market saying, well, actually maybe more like 100. Does the Fed stick to its previous belief? Does it kind of calibrate towards the market belief? Reducing the number of interest rate cuts because bond yields have moved up, because spending is going to be higher, because growth is going to be higher, and that sort of inflation premium. I think the job for the Fed is probably going to be what it signals. December comes with fresh projections, so it's going to be what it signals around the dots and its outlook for growth and so on. So it will have a better... It should have a better understanding by December, but it won't know the full picture, and normal markets really. So, it will be a tricky job. But probably as long as you see maybe a bit of a continued trend that we've seen in US data, that they probably go for another 25 basis points after tomorrow. But again, we just don't know what some of the changes might happen over the next few weeks might be with Donald Trump and his ability to sort of move markets with a few tweets, for example.
Neil, thank you so much for your time. That is Neil Wilson, who is the chief market analyst at Finalto, giving us his analysis when it comes to the American elections or the US elections and the impact they had on the market.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.